This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
Everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
Right, Chris.
All right there. All right, the back. How are we? How the devil are you? Are you happy? You should be. beating Watford, we had a really bad feeling because the last team that were holders to go out in the third round, as you may have heard me say, were Arsenal. And I did not want to repeat that at all. I did not want to particularly take that record off Arsenal. And guess what? We didn't. We did not. So we're through. We started the defence of our FA Cup. Well and truly good. We're going to be looking back at the games this weekend, but this is Leicester Till I Die TV, and you can watch us on YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV. Like I say, please subscribe. It helps the channel. And if you are listening also in catch-up on podcast form, Spotify, Apple iTunes, your favourite podcast platform, this is where you are.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Oh, indeed. Evening to Rennie. How the devil are you? And it's an East Midlands derby for round four. It is. And you know what? I bet there's probably a generation out there that don't know what an East Midlands derby is like. Let's just hope we don't cock it up. We could not live with that, could we? But what a performance by the young lads. I tell you what, they've put a few of them first teams to shame. Come in, number 27, your time is up. Please, please just come in.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event of the evening. 60 minutes of football fun and banter with Chris and Lester Till I Die TV. Are you ready? Ready? Let's get ready to rumble.
I think I got the number right then. Somebody will tell me off if I haven't. But anyway, it is the show now. We've got Julian on this one. We used to do it on a Tuesday. We're going to be doing this now once a month on a Wednesday. We're going to be looking back on a Wednesday, on a Monday. Don't know what day of the week it is. I'm not excited at us winning. We're going to be looking back at the weekend's games. And there's a few to go through, so we're going to sort of run through them. But let's bring him in and say Happy New Year and hello to Julian.
Happy New Year, Chris. Are you all right?
I'm not three bad. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very good.
You let me down on one, though. On your recommendation, I thought, Rotherham are going to win this. Been playing well, he said. And it's a good job I didn't put a bet on it.
That'd have been 50p wasted.
Yeah, I can't afford 50p. I tell you what, it was close. We'll come on to the game, obviously, in a bit. But it did run them... run them close. 8 years, says Renee, since we last had a Midlands derby. And it's your birthday in 10 more days. So happy birthday to you. If you need a kissogram, not Julian, obviously, that would be totally wrong, but I'll see what I can do for you. And let us go in. So this is what we're going to be doing. Wonders of modern technology here. We're going to have a look at FA Cup third round review and a quick look at the fourth round as well. Can you believe, Julian, it's come round so quickly?
I know. It sort of seems after the funny sort of state of last season, and then obviously we get up and running, and here it is again, and we're well back into it. Great result and performance on Saturday, and then obviously looking forward to that massive one in the next round.
Yes, indeed. But don't worry, because I've had a lot of people, when I've been sort of promoting this on Twitter, a lot of people have been saying, like, oh, we're not going to miss our favourite part of the show with Julian, are we? Of course you're not. I could not deny his fans the pleasure of the top totty moment.
I remember that centrefold well. Yeah, I think I had an Aaron sweater on.
Yeah. Where did you place your ball of wool? That's what I want to know.
Strategically.
Yeah. I hope we didn't have those pins in, you know, the needles in it. Fabulous knits. I don't know whether that's a good name or not, but you know, we couldn't let that slide. We couldn't, that will always be with us. Okay. Oh, is it Villa 1, United 1 now? United were 1-0 up. Anything says it's 1-0. But anyway, it is the games. We're going to say battle through them and obviously stick on, you know, a couple of the main ones. I mean, the first one there, Friday night, Swindon, Man City, pretty much what we expected, I think, wasn't it?
It was. It was nice that Swindon scored, and, you know, you could see when they did score, they celebrated like they'd won the game. And, you know, I suppose it's a big, big thing for them. So it would be great for them to see, you know, Man City, who put a really strong team out, you know, down at their place, then to get a goal as well. I mean, the results, obviously, as expected, there are banana skins here and there, but you wouldn't expect that from Man City at this stage. So it was a good game to watch. Like I say, they would have enjoyed the night despite the result, in the fact that, you know, they put a good show of themselves on and managed to nick a goal as well. And it was a very, very well taken goal.
And I managed to predict that one as well. That wasn't the hardest one to predict. But Bournemouth against Yeovil. I actually went for Yeovil here. Just shows what I know. But I thought, Bournemouth, top of the, you know, championship, they don't want to concentrate on getting promotion. But nope, they went and they again avoided the banana skin.
Yeah, I think it's nice at the moment. Even in the League Cup, you know, teams seem to be playing, you know, stronger teams and wanting to get through. Obviously, you've got your Man Cities who can afford to, you know, bring a few more on when they have to. But you can see that, you know, in both competitions now, it seems like the result's really paramount, as we've been used to, you know, probably maybe 10 years ago or so, where, you know, that especially the League Cup became a bit of a Mickey Mouse Cup because it was basically the second string and, you know, played all the way through and became a bit demeaning. But like I say, it's great to see that a lot of the top clubs had the strongest teams out, perhaps except for Newcastle, but we'll discuss that later.
Yes. I mean, do you think the fact that we won it last season gives these other clubs look at that and go, you know what? Because it doesn't happen very often. Like, you know, Wigan did it before us, and then there's probably us that caused the next upset. But teams must look to that and think, well, if Leicester can do it.
Yeah, and I think there is, going back to when, you know, they didn't play the strongest team, it would be about they were concentrating on the league position and, you know, the league form was everything and, you know, whether they're staving off relegation or fighting middle of the table, whatever it was. But now I think they do look at that and think, you know, the fans deserve a bit of something back from the club and they need to go out and put the strongest teams out, which they have been doing in these cup competitions. And like you say, anyone can win this cup. You can, you know, there aren't many like all premiership ties in the next round, but the round after that, you know, the big teams can easily come across a strong tie, get knocked out, and all of a sudden you can see your path to the final, you know, is a greater possibility than what you might have thought, you know, before it all kicked off. So, you know, it is winnable by anyone, Premier League, top of the Championship, you know, depending on how results go. And yeah, they should really, you know, be trying to achieve that.
You don't include Man United in the big team, of course. A couple of Premier League teams that made hard work of it, Southampton and Everton. Southampton, obviously Swansea City. I went for a draw after 90 minutes, which it was because it went to extra time, so I got that one right. And then there was Hull against Everton. I went for Hull because I thought Everton were just so bad. But again, they were taken to extra time.
I personally thought they were both very difficult ties, to be honest with you, particularly, you know, for Southampton to go on. And Everton, again, on the back of the form that they've got at the moment, they had a very brief good start to the season, but it's been well documented that, you know, Rafa might be under a little bit of pressure. The results haven't gone great. I don't think they've got a massive amount to spend. So he's sort of having a tough time there. And I think to go to that would have been one they would have really feared, especially away from home. That would have been a really tricky one for them. And I think that was a draw, wasn't it? And it went to extra time. So, you know, they've made hard work of it. And I'm, you know, pleased, because I really do like Rafa Benitez. So I'm glad they came through in the end. And, you know, nice to see how far. And again, they could be one of those funny teams that you could see them right at the end as it shakes up.
I'm surprised with Rafa. And we've got Elton on sort of next week. That's Elton Wellesby, not Elton John. I can't afford Elton John. Do you remember Elton Wellesby? You must remember Elton Wellesby.
I don't know.
No? Oh, no, God, you're a spring chicken.
I know, mate.
He's a big Everton fan. We'll be talking to him about Rafa. And he was a TV presenter in the 80s, I should say that. But I thought he was a good fit for Everton. It's just something's not clicking there, is it?
I think he still could be. I think he's definitely one that they do need to give the time to. I think, again, we've seen the amount of money that was spent before his appointment, and it's a very, very big number. And, you know, they've not really reaped the rewards of that. And then, you know, he comes in and has to start and spends literally, I think it was 1.75 on Damari Gray, and that's all he spent. So, you know, he's probably not, you know, if the players in his squad aren't the ones that he would have really wanted, he really hasn't got that choice but to work with them. And it'll be interesting in the transfer window just to see, you know, who they can bring in, what, you know, what the number is that they can spend and what is allowed to do and not to do. So, and I do think, it's quite plain that they do need a couple of players, you know, in key areas. They've got the problem with the lad, Dina, you know, who's obviously leaving for, you know, some off the pitch. Yeah. Politics, yeah. You know, so there's a few bits and bobs going off there. They need, you know, they need to get some fresh faces in, settle the ship, and then you'd like to think that you might see more of Rafa about the team after the transfer window. And, you know, it'd be great if they did give him like the opportunity rest of the season and at least going to next season, having had, you know, a season to build on, because he definitely needs it.
you've got to give managers don't get enough time, do they?
No, they don't.
You know, I mean, it's clubs like Watford, obviously. I can see Claudio, unfortunately, going soon, but you know, but Chelsea, well, they just did what they had to do against Chesterfield, didn't they? And it was again nice to see the Chesterfield lad celebrating when he scored,
It's a funny one, that, because Chesterfield, they've, you know, they'll have gone down there and the game plan would be, let's stay in the game as long as possible. And, it, you know, it just sort of went entirely on its head straight away. And, you know, to be four down, you know, it could have been a horror show. It could have been double figures. It would have been a terrible day out for everybody. So it was nice that, you know, they sort of managed to, you know, keep it as it was, and like you say, you know, get the goal, you know, fantastic. And there's a, got a nice little story about that. So one of my son's teammates is at Chesterfield's academy, and Chelsea invited their academy to go down and train. They mixed the teams up, trained with the Chelsea academy, did some, you know, did some training sessions, did some drills, got looked after absolutely fantastically. And I've not heard of a club do that. So for Chelsea to do that for the, and for the Chesterfield kids, you know, they're like all 14, 15 years old. They thought it was absolutely amazing. They bumped into some former players, you know, the coaches that they had. And they looked after them. They said Chelsea were absolutely magnificent for what they did.
I have not heard of that at all, but big up to Chelsea. Well, yeah, that was a great gesture. It really was. Plymouth, well, they beat Birmingham City. I mean, Dan, the Burnley fan, he wasn't happy at the weekend, but I suppose his crumb of comfort was the fact that Blackburn Rovers went out to Wigan. And I, again, got that one wrong. I thought Blackburn
would do
a good run, yeah. Again, Brighton against West Brom. Another tight game, went to extra time again.
Yeah, and again, you know, West Brom are still, you know, doing ever so well in with the league form. And again, another one, you know, if you look at it as a Brighton, and you're looking at your Evertons, your Brightons, your Southamptons, as we've just mentioned, teams that might fancy that if everything, you know, blows in the right direction for them, they might have a chance of winning it. And you'd be looking at that time thinking, you know, why did we get West Brom away? Couldn't we have got something a bit easier at home? And, you know, just wanting to get the name in the hat for that next round. So that was a real tough one for them, and all credit to them that that they came through at the end. A great result.
Yeah. And the bottom one there, I think I said earlier, yeah, I mean, I'm not taking betting tips off you again. You've been extolling the virtues of Rotherham United to me all season. I stood there in the face of Dan and went, no, Rotherham are going to win this. I've got an inside source. But they took it. They took it to the death.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I've watched them seven or eight times this season already, and they've definitely, certainly got a very, very good 11 in the league that they're in. It's a real, real good, strong 11, and a couple more that are in that mix, you know, on the bench. I mean, outside of that, I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure what kind of team they put out, but they've certainly performed this season, as the league results and positions show. So, you know, again, it's one that QPR would have been, you know, would have been wanting probably maybe an easier tie, knowing it was going to be tough. And like you say, they pushed them all the way. So it would have been on a knife edge, that one.
Yeah, no. Well, they did, like I say, did well to get it to penalties. And then it's just, unfortunately, a lottery, isn't it?
But as
we found out against Liverpool. Yeah, Brentford did what they had to do against Port Vale. Another one I got wrong here, Peterborough beating Nigel Pearson's Bristol Rovers. And then, of course, we've got, this is, well, I say it was an upset, but I think we should award this. There's a couple of teams that are going to get this, but I think Newcastle should definitely get this. I mean,
you know, when I talked about Everton a few minutes ago, this was, you know, it was a have to win game for Newcastle. You know, I even looked at the team sheet afterwards and thought, oh, I wonder if they, you know, messed around with it at all, and, you know, if they rested Trippier. But, you know, they seem to have a real strong team out, and, you know, all eyes are on them, because while they might have a bit of money to spend and they seem like they've got a recruitment plan for this month, you know, it's so easy it's not easy actually to get out of the position they're in, because there's that pressure week in, week out. And I think I've said on here before that, you know, every time you lose one, and if a couple around you pick points up, it doesn't matter who you've brought in. It can be such a horrible place to be. And this really was just compounded the woes that they've got at the moment. You know, they've not really found much different form under Eddie Howe, who I am a massive fan of. And I hope he gets them out of it and goes on to prosper with the club. I think it's a fantastic fit for them. But that right now, that is a horrific result for Newcastle United. And there's nothing that you can sort of flip round and say, well, there's a positive here and there. It's an awful result.
Yeah. It's, I mean, as a player, when, and I don't know sort of whether you've been in this position or not, but is the cup a welcome distraction or a pain in the backside? You just want to concentrate on the league, do you think?
No, I think we always relish cup games. I mean, the unfortunate one that we had was when we were the League Cup holders and we went out away at Grimsby. I think Walshy broke a few ribs. I was knocked unconscious. Yeah. We didn't play well. I certainly didn't play well. And we, you know, we were second best all night. So a team, you know, like Grimsby, with all due respect to them, I think they were two leagues below us. I'm not sure. But, you know, they really worked hard and made it difficult. We weren't comfortable all night. And it was a terrible feeling. But you go back to the season before when we're actually, you know, nicking results here and there in the League Cup. And it's the best thing ever to be on a cup run. I mean, the only teams who might find it a hindrance are your Man City's and your Chelsea's, you know, and your Liverpool's who are, you know, we've got COVID, they've got injuries. They all moan about the Christmas schedule, which I don't agree with. I think the Christmas schedule is fantastic. But so they're the really maybe the two or three teams that you might think, yeah, do you know what? Do they really need this? But everybody else, like we say, you've got a chance of winning something big for it, which would be a great day out for the fans, great for you as a player to, you know, to get a medal. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's how they should and are looking at it.
I mean, Brad always likes to say when we're talking about like Norwich's and what have you, you can't polish a turd.
And, you know, you can roll it in glitter, though.
You can. This is true, but it's still a turd at the end of the day. He's got a tough job there. We can see that. And I just wonder whether going down for Newcastle won't be the end of the world. I mean, I can remember when Leicester, and we'd avoided relegation for about three or four seasons under Craig Levein and what. I mean, we had Ian Holloway come in. I think any manager would have taken us down. I mean, he proved a couple of seasons later when he took Blackpool into the Premier League that he's a good manager. There's nothing about him. But we went down. It was almost like we could clear the dead wood out.
Yeah.
And draw a line and start again.
There is that, but I do think with, you know, obviously the finance that they're going to have available. I mean, my one sort of worry would be that they might sack the manager. I'd hope they wouldn't. No. But there was a thing in the Unai Emery that apparently he didn't like a clause saying they could get rid of him if he still got relegated, and that was one of the sort of sticking points. And they may have done the same, you know, with Eddie Howe, who would have been confident of keeping them up. And again, I don't think they need that change. You know, Eddie Howe brought Bournemouth from the brink of disaster, you know, to be an half-decent Premier League team for quite a number of years. So he's definitely the right man. I definitely think he can manage the bigger players. I don't think that's a problem to him either. And I would just hate it if they did go down that some changes like that. And, you know, I agree with what you say, you can get rid of the deadwood, but then attracting those players, you know, to bring them up and they've got to start all over again. Are you going to attract Premier League players to come play in the Championship? I would say not. So I think it's a real tough one. I think the mindset of footballers now, and particularly with the wages that they earn, you know, it's a total different mindset, and they can choose that they don't want to drop down, actually. They want to stay, keep the Premier League status. And that's totally different from, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago.
Yes. Well, as the old saying goes, you can concentrate on the league now, Newcastle. And then we've got the best game of the weekend, really. I mean, Leicester 4, Watford 1. I mean, when I put the team up on Facebook and Twitter before the game, and I looked at that team and I'm thinking, who? And I'm like, hang on, why have we got gaps on the bench? I mean, you know, it's with the Everton game's cancelled tomorrow night. None of the FA Cup games were, whether they've got different criteria or not, but there's a lot of youngsters on there, and my God, they grabbed that chance with both hands and really played well.
Yeah, you know, it was good to see him. I mean, when I saw the team sheet, I thought, well, he must be resting a few. Then you look down at the subs and like, well, he's really resting them because they're not even involved. So, yeah, it was a bit of a new one. I know, a few unrecognised faces. But, I mean, the top three, or not top three, but Maddison, Luckman and Barnes all look really lively. And it's one of those days where the youngsters can come in and, you know, they're either on that day sink or swimming. It seemed like they were all swimming quite nicely. And I could see, you know, Watford had a few chances and they looked like they had a little period on top. But other than that, it looked pretty comfortable, especially when we got the third goal. And yeah, fantastic results. And like you say, defending champions. And we you know, we don't want to give that up lightly.
No. You know, all the main players, and I can understand Danny Ward coming on because he hardly gets a game at all. I suppose that's the trouble with being, you know, second, you know, to a goalkeeper like Schmeichel. But I've got a question. I mean, all the main players that were available were on the pitch. So, like you say, your Luckman, your Barnes, your Tillemans, your...
Number 27.
Now, have I got the right number there? That's what I'm going to say.
I think you have, Chris.
Yeah, you have. I thought so. And I've written a thing for the, because I do obviously, like I say, and check this out tomorrow. It's the BBC website, Leicester City page, Tuesday Talking Point. And I actually say the future's bright, the future's blue. Because when you look at those youngsters, you know, I know we've not got a lot of money to spend in this transfer window. Maybe we don't need to. But when you're taken off, the only senior player that was taken off to put a youngster on until, you know, towards the end, maybe that was different. But he's, I mean, Perez, what did he, I mean, that was his chance. You know, when you look at the youngster that grabbed it with both hands, and he's kind of like, was he on the pitch? I didn't hear him mentioned half the time.
Yeah, I think it's difficult for him. He's not having a great time. And I think it's about where does he fit into that team? Like, I always think he's a number 10. So, but, you know, Maddison's obviously very strong in that position. So his chances are few and far between unless he plays away from that. And if he does, you know, I've seen him playing, you know, on either side of the midfield and he's not looked fantastic, if I'm honest. It doesn't seem to come natural to him. On the recruitment side, I've said for years now, Leicester seems to have got it spot on. And it's not just what they're bringing through, but who they bring in for the right money. When you look at your, like, you know, your Fofanas, you know, people like, you know, kids like that who are now, you know, could probably go for big money if they were fit. And like you say, with the youngsters coming through, you've had Harvey Barnes come through. Damari Gray didn't quite work out at Leicester, but, you know, he's proving to be, you know, a sound buy at the moment at Everton. So that's where we are at a club right now. I don't think we're ever going to go in and spend massive, massive money. No. But I mean, you know, another interesting one for me is Tielemans, who is a lot to us, but to other clubs, that's just a snip. But, you know, we've gone in at the right time, paid the right price for the player. And, you know, if he does leave, you know, we'll be trebling our money. And I sort of guess that's where we have to accept where we are right now.
I was actually talking to an Arsenal fan last night. I hijacked an Arsenal post-match show just to obviously offer my condolences. We'll come to that later. But he was saying, like, how are you getting these players? Because we're looking at them, but you're getting them. And I said, but you're not prepared to take a gamble on these. You want, you know, and I'm quite happy for us to go in and play 20, 30 million and you to come along 2 or 3 years down the line and pay us 50 to 80 million. I said, it's damn good business. But we take the gamble, you don't. But I don't know. I just think, I mean, you know, I speak to Newcastle, they don't want Perez back. And I think that kind of sums it up. And when they're in that situation that they're in and they don't want Perez, I've tried to be nice this season to him because, it's, you know, but the problem is it's not just been a patch. It's been like almost say over a full season now. He's not performed when asked to be. But obviously Rodgers sees something in it, but I was hugely, he was the one downside for me when, you know, the youngsters showed that they wanted it, they were up for it, and so he just didn't. But we're in the next round and we'll be coming on to that later because that's a nice juicy fourth round tie for us. But Kidderminster Harriers, they caused the upset against Reading. Well done to them. the lowest team in the competition still, and they've got a nice draw.
Absolutely, great draw for them, great for the club. You know, it'll bring some much needed cash into, you know, for the clubs like that. That's obviously what, you know, this is about. If they put the head above the parapet and, you know, earn their little 15 minutes of fame, then, you know, fantastic for them. And like I say, with the, I think it's a home tie, isn't it? So, you know, that's going to be a great cash boost for the club to, you know, to entertain a Premier League team. They'll be, you know, the news will be all over it. So great result for them that's made that happen.
And then a few games here. I'm going to go quickly over because I didn't really do very well in predicting these. But Boreham Wood, again, well done to them, beating Wimbledon. Barnsley were taken to extra time, so bad luck to Barrow. I did have that down as a draw, so I got that one at 90 minutes. Palace, I think they did everybody in the country a favour and dumped Millwall out. Everybody's glad for that. Blackpool let themselves down going out to Hartlepool.
Yeah. I watched the Millwall Palace game, and you know, like, again, another team. Palace put a strong team out. They really wanted it, and they just had a bit too much for Millwall in the end. But nice to see Palace really sort of, you know, having a crack at it.
They've surprised me this season, and I thought they'd struggle with Roy going and that stability, and Patrick coming in without the sort of the Premier League experience, but he's doing a good job there.
Doing a great job, and I think it took a few weeks for them to get going. Probably, you know, despite all his experience of a player, it's different coming in as a manager and guiding a team of players. Mm. And it would have taken him, you know, at least a few weeks to take stock and see where he needed to, you know, do things better, make improvements. But once he steadied the ship, you know, they're a team now that, if we're talking about betting, it's not a team I often bet against just because, you know, they can pull a result out of the hat. And they look like a real strong team. Probably not got the depth of the clubs around them, which, you know, they may be punished with later in the season. But definitely the starting 11 is very good.
Yeah. Oh, this next game, I couldn't pick a winner. I had to go for the draw because I hate both of them, Coventry and Derby. And in fairness to them, I suppose Derby, bottom of the Championship, Coventry midway. But, I mean, Rooney's doing, in fairness, got to give credit to Rooney. He's doing a fair, decent job there in just sort of keeping their head above water.
I mean, he's, you know, it seems like there's a difficult situation that he's in, which is mainly off the pitch, but it'll constrain him, you know, for results on the pitch. So he's battling on with it. And, you know, I keep hearing things about it's the improvements that are going to be made, buyers coming in and stuff like that. So I hope it sorts itself out soon. He can probably just crack on with the job and worry about just on the pitch and not everything else that surrounds it.
I mean, I think they've actually, even when they get, well, if they go down or if they stay up, they've got a points deduction next season as well. I joke about Derby County and obviously all the other, you know, Midland clubs, but I don't want to see them go out of business because, you know, as a club, Leicester, you know, we know how close we came. So, you know, for that reason and that reason alone, I do hope they sort themselves out. Dan is probably not watching. He's probably still got his head under the sheets at the moment, the Burnley fan. What I actually went, I thought Burnley would show up for this one at home against Huddersfield Town, you know, Yorkshire-Lancashire rivalry. And again, like, you know, like I said before, Burnley at the bottom, have a good cup run, take the minds off it. But apparently Burnley aren't particularly good at cup runs, Dan was saying. And again, that's not going to help morale for them, is it?
No, because, you know, we've talked about, you know, Newcastle and Derby already. And like you say, for me, I would think they want to progress because it'd be, a tiny ray of sunshine for the fans, and Burnley no different. You know, I don't think it's a distraction for them, and it would have been nice for them to progress and, you know, have something good to talk about. But this, again, as with the other two teams we've just mentioned, it just sort of compounds the sort of bad mood and the doom and gloom around the, you know, around the club. So a tough result, especially going one up and then conceding two. You know, Huddersfield haven't been showing fantastic form at all since they dropped out of the Premier League. So a real sort of puzzling result to take in, to be honest. But from what I saw of the highlights, you know, Huddersfield deserved the win.
Indeed. And I mean, the rumours are that Newcastle are after Chris Wood.
Strange one for me, that.
You can't sell. I like Chris Wood when he was at Leicester, to be honest with you. I think he's a good, solid, you know, old-fashioned, I know he's not English, but old-fashioned English centre-forward. But you don't let one in something like that go to your big, you know, one of your relegation rivals,
no,
do you?
No. It's not just that, though. I mean, he's 30 now? You know, it's probably, you know, what I don't see the strategy behind, you know, buy him, they stay up. He's probably not going to play another game for Newcastle, is he? You know, it just seems like it might be a real short-term plaster. But other than that, I wouldn't see him, with Callum Wilson being fit and anyone else, they might want to bring in. You wouldn't see him getting much game time. So, you know, it would, if he did go, you've got to think that he's going to be getting a decent pay rise out of it. And again, you know,
it's a good move, isn't it?
And if you're Burnley, you don't want him going to your relegation rivals and, you know, scoring a winner on the last day that keeps them up and puts you down. It'd be ridiculous.
I could see there being a riot at Burnley if that happens.
Absolutely.
And of course, there's rumours about Tarkowski leaving. If they don't sell him in this window, they're not going to get anything for him because he can go on a free at the end. But I'm just thinking, with Newcastle and Chris Wood, I mean, they can afford just to, you know, spend a lot of million pounds on a plaster, can't they?
Yeah, they can. They can, absolutely. But, you know, for me, like from the players' perspective, I sort of see that it's Newcastle and, you know, like I say, there might be an incentive financially, but I don't see it as the best career move. Who was the lad who went from Southampton to Liverpool? England striker, but didn't really play that often for England. I used to quite like him as a player, but he went to Liverpool, never played. But it was his boyhood club.
Yes.
I can't think of his name. But he's
gone to Brighton now, hasn't he?
I'm not sure, but he... It was one of those where, I get it, it's your boyhood club, but you've just really basically said, I'm not going to play for the last few years of my career, which, again, as a player, I don't understand, because there comes a time when you can't play at that level anymore, and then, you know, you drop down, and eventually you get to an age, whichever one it is, where you're not going to be a professional footballer anymore, and you not having the game time, I think it doesn't make any sense at all.
But I suppose, I remember David Speedy, he'd been bought by a couple of teams in the Championship. As soon as they got promoted, they sold him. And I think when he came to Leicester, he had it written into his contract that if we got promoted, you know more than me, but when he got promoted, we couldn't sell him. We had to keep him because he was set up. So I suppose you can always have something like that written, you know, into your contract. I'm just trying to have a look here at Lallana. That was it.
Oh, no. I was thinking of the other guy who's a big striker. Stocky, I think it began with L as well. Lallana play. I think Lallana was just more injuries than anything else that altered his sort of Liverpool career. And I can't believe I can't remember his name because I really liked him. I think he got an England cap or two as well. But he got
a couple of caps though, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a very focal point striker, fair haired lad. I'll think of it soon. But his game time.
Age, you know, isn't it? This is a. We're like them two old men on the Muppets.
Or just two Muppets.
Well, this is very true. I'll take it. I've been called worse. I'm not going to lie.
Same here.
I'm just seeing here if I can get just past players here. Maybe he wasn't even there long enough. No, I don't think he was there long enough to even register as a pass player. Like you say, it will come to us. It will come to us. Then after that, we've got a couple of games there. Bristol losing out to Fulham and Mansfield losing out to Middlesbrough. And then we came to the big one. Now, I know we laughed at Newcastle before, but I can't not. This has got to do this for us. I mean, I mean, they're almost as tepid as the shirts. And I know the shirts were for charity, what have you, so I'm not going to say it, but I did think they'd actually forgotten the shirts and they had to get a local football team just to bring 11 shirts down. But, I mean, the performance was absolutely awful, wasn't it?
It would have, you know, fell perfectly for Forest. They would have been wanting to stay in the game as long as possible, like they did, and hope to nick one. It's sort of the perfect tactics for an underdog in an FA Cup tie, you know. And the goal was late enough that there was little time for a reaction. You know, job done. So, you know, fantastic for them for that result. But then, obviously, there's a lot of controversy surrounding Arsenal with the substitution he made first half, and then obviously the results afterwards. And you know, to compound it all, the performance was pretty dire.
Yeah. Pretty brilliant. I mean, Terry says here, and I apologise, Terry, you commented this earlier, but I thought we'd wait till, well, he did say wait till the game comes up. But he has said here, when you get to Forest versus Arsenal, I have a theory. As Arsenal knew that they would have Leicester in the next round, better surrender now, lads, we're off. stranger things have happened. I mean, I did, in all fairness. I mean, I had Arsenal down to win this. Again, shows what I know. But if Arsenal want to be taken seriously, and I know, you know, they're sat up there in the top six, whatever it is at the moment, and you know, it seemed to be working. But they can't be losing games like this, can they?
No, it's again disastrous start to the season. Then they really seem to have found some form. Said it before, so glad that they've stuck with Arteta, and I hope they do for some time to come. But every week there's a bit of a niggle about something they've done. And again, this week, you know, obviously, like I said, the result, the early substitution, the performance, you know, and there's always something hanging around them that's got a bit of negativity to it. And it, very difficult for them to shake that off. I mean, I think you'd have to go like 5 or 6 unbeaten in the league to have any ray of sunshine, you know, around the Emirates. So it just seems a bit funny there at the moment, and there seems to be a real spotlight on them.
And I guess, in a way, it kind of helps them out, because I know they're still in the Carabao Cup, but they haven't got any European football to worry about. Sorry, Arsenal fans, but you haven't. You've not now got the FA Cup to worry about. And like when Leicester won the league, we didn't have any of that either. We only had the league to worry about. So it might actually work in their favour in getting them back in the top four again.
Yeah, it could do it. I mean, you know, they'll obviously, depending on who they were lined up to play on that next FA Cup weekend, they probably will have a break then, and you know, more time, you know, for the manager to work on things. You know, let's see what they do in the transfer window as well. I've not really heard much around Arsenal, a couple of midfield players for him, you know, from abroad, but nothing really with any certainty. So, interesting time for him, but I do think he's a good young manager. Pep Guardiola always speaks so highly of him, and he has had a really good period. And like I say, it's a shame the wheels came off in this particular fixture, but I do think they will turn it around.
Yeah. Well, you know, bad luck, Arsenal. That's all I can say. I'm not laughing, really. You know, it's a nervous laugh, shall I say that, in embarrassment for you. But anyway, Wolves managed to do what was needed to be done against Sheffield United. West Ham, I mean, they're just firing on all fronts. They sort of demolished Leeds United, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I mean, we've always said about Leeds, so unpredictable. You never know, you know, what you're going to get. We know how they play, which is a bit unauthentic, I suppose, if that's the right word. As opposed to, you know, other teams. And on the day, they can be absolutely devastating. But then, like you say, they come up against a good West Ham team who are playing, you know, well at the minute. Another team that I think I mentioned, like, you know, your Palaces and what have you, have got a really good 11 for me, and maybe one or two more, but not much outside of that. But when they've got everybody fit and playing, then they're a match for anybody, as they've shown in the league this season.
They are struggling in the league, though. I mean, can you see the manager going?
What, West Ham?
Oh, sorry, I was thinking...
I was just, you know, coming up against West Ham. With Leeds, it is a funny one. you know, he doesn't seem to do anything different. Nothing changes. And the league form has been awful. And they're really floating out above there. And if, you know, if Newcastle do something special and come out, rise like a phoenix from that bottom three, you know, it's going to really start affecting those teams just who probably think there's a bit of safety where they are at the moment, but not too much. But it can all turn around in, you know, a month's worth of games. So, it's a funny one. I'm not sure what they think of it. He just seems to quietly get on with his job. You don't really see a lot of rumours in the press about the managerial position there. So they just seem to keep a lid on that.
West Ham, though, you're totally right. And I'm pleased for them. Obviously, I'd like it to be Leicester again that were up there. But I'd just like to see another unrecognised Big Six club, if you like, for want of calling them anything else. And, you know, knocking on the door and causing the upsets. And West Ham are, he's got them, like you say, just... I mean, I'm going to say that the fans didn't, you know, particularly want him back. I don't think you'll find a West Ham fan now that's unhappy with David Moyes.
Oh, no. I mean, I think, like I say, he's got the 11 he's got and a couple outside it. He's found a system that works well for the particular players. And, you know, that sometimes a manager can sometimes prefer a formation and try and squeeze players into it. And I think it looks like he's gone, well, you know, these are what I've got at my disposal. This is what I think is going to work best. They've worked on it, and it does. And they play some great football. They've got some big players. You know, Antonio has just signed a contract, say, extension, I think, who is a handful for anyone, you know, physically. And he's got a load of ability as well. So, you know, they seem to be scoring goals. And, you know, they have took a couple of scalps this season. So you wouldn't really fancy playing them in League or Cup.
Well, they did us, didn't they, at the start? Yeah. But two words to you, Julian. Ricky Lambert.
Yes, I was not going to say Paul Lambert, but I'd got the Lambert. I was going to mention it to you, but yeah, it is. It's and I really liked him as a player. I thought he was a very good, very clever, typical number nine, old fashioned, held the ball up well, and it was the fact that I think Liverpool were his boyhood club or who he supported, and I suppose it's difficult when they come in for you, but he had some great form, you know, at Southampton, and then really, it'd be interesting. I can't remember how many sort of starts he had for Liverpool, but I can't remember it being many.
Well, he moved when he was 32. Yeah. And according to the... this isn't my football knowledge. This is my mate, Mr. Google. Bring me out here. He lasted just one season and scored three times in 36 games, bless him.
That's the point, Chris, with Chris Wood. You know, is that going to be... That made me remind me of that scenario. Is that what Chris Wood going to Newcastle would play out like? And I think it probably would, you know, age and everything else. And, you know, the ability that they're going to have to bring in some, you know, some big name players. So it would, like I say, it'd be a strange one all around for me, that.
It would. And the only thing I can think with Chris Wood is, like you say, if he does get a, if they do go down, he'll be very good in the Championship.
Absolutely. But, yeah.
He will, I'm sure, not just sign a one-year contract. He'll sign it. He'll demand two or three and sit his money out. Last couple on this page. Tottenham beat Morecambe, pretty much what we expected, I think. I see Dele Alli, though, is being maybe allowed to leave if an offer comes in for him. He's clearing out the deadwood already, Conte, isn't he?
Yeah, he seems, I mean, he's that type of manager. I think he makes his mind up, you know, very quickly. He's very decisive. There's one or two there. I think, is it Bergwijn, who looks like might be on his way to it. And I've seen like a few names linked, you know, coming in, and you can see that, you know, the likes of Alli aren't going to get much game time if they do stay. So probably in the best interest to be on the lookout in the next few weeks.
Good purchase for Leicester, Alli, do you think?
He said, do you know what? I think it'd be another bit of a Perez one, where would he come in? Where would he fit? You know, would he show the same form that we've seen? It's, you know, like Jesse Lingard, who could say that he would go to West Ham and show the form he did? Because I certainly didn't, you know, and I know, you know, Moyes had sort of been a long time fan of his and what have you, but he went there and it was like he was a different player. And then he's gone back to Man United now and struggling for game time. And I think Dele Alli comes into that. If he gets the right club, the right manager, the right format, you know, everything falls right, his, you know, his ability is undoubted. So it could work well for him. And I'm not saying he wouldn't be a success at Leicester, but I don't think it'd be a given, if I'm honest.
Yes, yeah. They're again at home, beat Leyton Orient 2-0. Last few games now that we're just getting to, Stoke, don't put that on twice. Liverpool 4, Shrewsbury Town 1. I think, again, that's one that everybody would have predicted, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice that Shrewsbury scored first. I mean, it must have been a great... I mean, I saw the celebrations for the goal. I mean, it must have been absolutely fantastic to, the lad who's gone and nicked the first goal at Anfield in a big cup tie like that. So, again, you couldn't see that Shrewsbury Town, supporters would be upset at that result. It's a... they're playing one of the best teams in Europe. They've gone there, though. They've took the lead. They've scored a goal. I'm sure it smiles on faces, for all those fans. Yeah. And like you say, a very, very predictable result. But hopefully they all had a great day.
And the guy's going to live out on that for the rest of his life. Oh,
absolutely.
Isn't he?
Absolutely. And why not?
Like the guy that scored against Chelsea. Norwich actually managed a win. They managed a 1-0 win. Whether that's good for them, and like I say, whether they wanted to get out so they could concentrate on the league, who knows. And Cardiff beat Preston, which I thought would go the other way. Luton, they're a good little team. I think they're struggling a little bit in the league, but I do like Luton Town.
Yeah, well, it's one of my own old clubs. So I've got a little affinity with them. It was a good period for me, particularly my first year there. So I do always look out for the results. I know they're finding it tough in the league at the minute. And again, going back to Norwich and at Luton, for Norwich, it's a nice little bit of respite. And certainly for Luton, to get a good result like that, get the name in the hat for the next round, smiles on faces. Great for the club, and I'm not sure who they've got in the draw. We'll look at that next, but it'd be interesting to see how they go next.
Yeah. Man United are still winning. I thought it had gone 1-1, but Villa have actually, they're 1-0 down to Man United, and Villa have had two goals disallowed.
Yeah, sorry, I've just got my phone in it. Flicked to 1-1, and obviously VAR must have reared its ugly head. But, I mean, if they've got two disallowed, they're doing something right. I think a good start under Steven Gerrard. And, it's a difficult game for them. I mean, it's difficult for Man United as well. There's a lot of unrest seemingly, and a strange one to bring an interim manager in unless they know that they're going to get someone like Pochettino at the end of the season to bring a guy in and say then he's going to be a consultant after that. It's all a little bit weird how they've sort of shoehorned it into managing one of the biggest clubs in the world. It baffles me, if I'm honest.
It is, and I think we touched on this before. Managers should be walking barefoot over broken glass to manage that club, and that's with respect to Man United because they are such a big club.
Yeah,
and I think that to do what they're having to do maybe shows how far down the Glazers have dragged them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and they're not particularly playing well. They don't seem to be able to find right players in right positions, so Sancho's come over. It'd be a totally different game in this league than it was, in the Bundesliga. I bet he had a chance to run at players and get in behind them. We play a lot differently over here, and we're finding he's getting the ball high up the pitch and he's literally just turning and playing it backwards, so you're not really seeing the best of him. There's no doubt he's a fantastic player. But it's just not really working for him, right now. And Rashford, he seems to be doing as much off the pitch as on the pitch. And his form, for me, has dipped a bit. Greenwood's a bit of a bright spark at the moment. And other than that, I mean, Varane, I know he's had some injuries, but he's made a couple of errors that have cost goals. And you don't expect someone, of that calibre to do that. So, we can go back to something we've talked many a times, and it's the Van der Beek saga. Whichever manager seems to be there, he's not as good as I think he is because he just can't get any minutes at all. And it just seems really, really odd.
It is. It's all over at Old Trafford. United are through against Aston Villa 1-0. It's a bit like Damari Gray. You think that these players have got talent, but at Man United, Ollie, for whatever reason, didn't take to him. Ralph, he's not playing him. So it's not just one manager that's gone. And then you've got to start to think, is it the player's attitude? And it was the same with Damari Gray. There's about four Leicester managers that looked at him and went, no. So, yeah, like you said, I think there's something going on there. But that was all the games that, there's a lot of them, that we saw at the weekend. Third round of the FA Cup. It's always a good start to the new year, isn't it?
It's easy. I think, you know, starting my career at Rotherham, which was like, obviously we were in the Division 1 and then Division 2, we got relegated. And, you know, these were the days that you look forward to. You knew you weren't going to get that far in the Cup, if anywhere at all. But, it was always a big day for the fans, you know, whether at home and away, it was either a day out or... And you always wanted to get the right result. And, it was something to look forward to. I've been at other clubs where we've played against, you know, Luton, played Fulham away, came back from two down to draw two all, which was a great result for us at the time. You know, the fans love that, brought them back. Unfortunately, didn't get the right result. So there's always stories every year. And obviously with the upsets that we've seen this weekend, they're absolutely fantastic. You know, some players have just lived the dream this weekend. And like you say, they'll be dining out on it for a long, long time to come. And, you know, they need to enjoy it as long as it lasts and, you know, they're still in the hat.
I think it has taken a bit of a hit over the last few years with the Champions League and the Premier League sort of taking preference. But, I mean, you know, it means so much more than the League Cup. And, you know, we Leicester won the League Cup a few years. And to my mind, a cup is a cup, a trophy is a trophy. But I think the FA Cup's making a little bit of a comeback. But it is, as I say, that shock up. And I think the fact that there wasn't replays, I loved. You know, because, you know, these smaller teams, you know, they're winning 1-0 and then the big team bring on all the big guns with 5 minutes to go. They get it back to 1-1, take it back to their place and stuff them. And yes, they get the big payday. But, you know, with this, as it was at the weekend, with no, you know, extra time and penalties and there was no replay, I just think it's so much better for the smaller clubs.
Yeah, I mean, it is that thing. I mean, I remember years ago when I was a young lad, I think it was Arsenal and Sheffield Wednesday. I think they drew about four or five games and it became a bit ridiculous. And, you know, there's a common thing with the managers, especially at the top clubs, they're always talking about the fixtures being at the wrong times. And, you know, for me personally, I always love the Christmas period. You want those games coming thick and fast. And, you know, there's a lot of criticism of that. So I think this was just the way of, you know, relieving that pressure a little bit. And I think it's absolutely ideal that, you know, you're going somewhere on a day, you've been drawn by a luck home or away, you go in there and, you know, there's going to be results at the end of it. And I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. It's made it quite exciting. And like you say, I think both the Cups are making a bit of a comeback, to be honest with you. But yeah, particularly the FA Cup, because they've got big, you know, like you say, the Champions League is an absolute monster of a competition. And it sort of seems to take over. And that was the thing where, going back to sort of Fergie's time and Wenger's time, where because they had things like the Champions League and the league, this is where the FA Cup for me really suffered in that era of, that is when they were resting so many players and it became absolutely ridiculous. But it seems to be full circle now and it's got a lot better.
I think, was it one season Man United either missed a round or just didn't take part at all?
They were in the World Cup final. And for me personally, I think they could have put a team out, and it might have been kids, but they could have put a team out, and they ended up not putting a team out at all. And I thought, for a club of that size, that's quite poor. They could have easily, you know, whatever squad, if they took a 25-man squad to the World, you know, Club final, they would have still had enough players there where they could have... you know, done something about it, and they didn't. I thought that was poor at the time, if I'm honest.
Rennie says there, imagine if we won the FA Cup again. Well, I think we're going to have a more, it's just typical Leicester this season, we're going to have a more difficult draw as it goes on. And if we get there, I think we will have earned it. We're going to take a very, very quick look at the fourth round straight after this. This is what I'd really love to see.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Give us a subscribe. It does help the channel and shows you support. So we're looking at the FA Cup fourth round. And to be honest, there's no real big clashes there. I think most of the Premier League guys got non-Premier League opposition. Palace host Hartlepool, Bournemouth, Boreham Wood, they should go through. Huddersfield, Barnsley, Peterborough, QPR, Cambridge, Luton, Southampton got a home match against Coventry. Come on, you Saints. Chelsea, Plymouth, you've got to think that they'll go through. And Everton, Brentford could be interesting. I don't know, there'll be replays next year, but that could be go either way.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, that, for Everton. You know, I've been a bit surprised by Brentford this term after the first few games, but really sort of pleasantly surprised, if you like, because they seem to have a very good manager. Again, he's come up with a system that suits his players. You know, they've done ever so well. They've nicked results here and there. And I think it's been a great, you know, start to the journey in the Premier League. I sincerely hope they stay up and they're here next season. They've been an absolute breath of fresh air. Yeah. But it'll be difficult for Everton because, like we've already talked about, you know, they're having a bit of a bad time and it's in front of their home fans. So there's going to be a bit of pressure on them. So very interesting tie that. And just going a few up, as I've just mentioned, you know, Luton will have a chance away at Cambridge to progress a bit further. And it'd be, for them, fantastic if they could get over that hurdle and get into the fifth round.
And I don't mind Bournemouth doing well because they're just down the road from me. So if they get a plum tie, they get as Bournemouth and get a plum home tie, I could maybe pop along and watch that one. Rene thinks we should get to the semis or the final. Niall, good evening, mate. How are you? Nice of you to pop along. On to the second half of the draw. Kidderminster, well deserved, and they've got a plum tie again against West Ham. But you would think West Ham should do it. But again, it's the joy of the cup, isn't it?
It is. You know, I mean, not sure. It was always the thing with non-league clubs, especially as you know the Premier Leagues and all the leagues have improved their pitches, and it was always going to the non-league club, and the pitch was always an issue. So. But not in this case. But no, you'd think that West Ham, again, Moyes, I think he'll put a strong team together. You know, they'll want to, they're a team that, as we've said, that there are several that you can still see in the tie that will think, you know, if everything goes for us, we've got a chance of winning the FA Cup this year. Yeah. As we allude to, you know, obviously Leicester doing it last year. So it's very achievable for a lot of teams in this round who aren't in the, you know, the like top three or four. So you would expect them to breeze past, but hopefully Kidderminster, you know, make a good day of it.
Yeah. For the Manchester United, I was on before we came live here. I was just watching a Manchester United stream. And to the Manchester United fan who said they haven't got Middlesbrough in the next round, if they win, they've got Nottingham Forest. And I had to correct them. And I'm thinking, like, surely you know who you've got in the next round, you know. I'm like, yeah, she was accusing somebody of being wrong. Well, love, you were wrong. you were as thick as two short planks. You beat Villa. Well done. Well done on that one. And they've got a home tie against Middlesbrough. United could struggle there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, the form isn't great. And, you know, like I say, they've got past Villa tonight, who are very good. So that is a fantastic result for them. But I think, you know, with Man United, you're not really sure what you're going to get with them from 1 week to the next. And you can see them playing well and then we see them struggling. And, you know, it's who turns up on the day and how well they play. So Middlesbrough have got nothing to lose. You know, and again, they'll just be making it very difficult and very frustrating for Man United. They'll want to get the home fans on the team's back, you know, if they're not performing well and they're holding them off. So it's an interesting one. You'd fancy Man United, really, but it's definitely not under the foregone conclusion category.
No. The second, just the three all Premier ties, Tottenham take on Brighton. Again, could go either way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one for both. Brighton had a great start to the season. Tottenham didn't. You know, obviously Tottenham's form has turned under, you know, after Conte comes in. And I think, I did say at the beginning of the season, I think Brighton will level off and find the real position in the league. And it certainly wasn't, you know, I don't think anyway, top eight or anything like that. So I think they're very difficult to beat. They seem to have a lot of tight games and, you know, hoping to nick something. But I would think Tottenham might have a bit too much from having said that. I was so disappointed in Tottenham last week against Chelsea. I think that was absolute one-way traffic. I thought it was awful. Yeah. So, you know, that's something that that they need to address. But I'm sure they're doing that as we speak.
Just say hi to Anthony Herbert. We're Man United won 1-0. Are you supporting Man United now, Anthony, now that Arsenal have knocked out? I refer you back to Terry's comment. If you go and have a look at Terry's comment right at the start of the chat about why he thinks you lost against Forest, I'll just let you read that on your own, Anthony. But it's nice to see you, young man. Nice to see you. Liverpool Cardiff, you're going to have to think that, you know, that should be Liverpool, shouldn't it, really? Especially as it's a town field. Stoke Wigan. Again, that could go either way.
It's a toss of a coin match, that one. Definitely not on the coupon, I know that.
And then, for loads of Leicester fans, the game, we've kind of been waiting for it for so long, haven't we? I think the last game was when Lockhart scored in the last minute or something and we got into the playoffs. Nottingham. It's going to be a great away day. It's got to be on the telly, surely, that one.
I remember we played there in the league in the 90s. It was 0-0. The atmosphere was unbelievable. You know, the pure hatred for each other was more than apparent. I think Walsh unleashed a rocket from about 30 yards that came straight back at him off the post. So it was a very, very tight game. I'd like to see it as spicy in the right way now. And, you know, it would make a very interesting cup tie. I would like to think we've got a bit too much for them as well with when we get all the players sort of back in who are missing at the moment. So, but it will be a good tie.
Fulham go to Man City. And then the only thing I suppose in Fulham's favour is this is the start of February. And teams like Manchester City, they're all going to be thinking about the Champions League, because that's going to be starting the week or two after. So that might be in the back of their mind, especially in, you know, the sort of team that they might put out. But again, you think, even if Man City put a second string out, you think they should beat Fulham.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Pep is that the way he introduces players, and, you know, he brought in Gundogan. You didn't see him for quite a few months, and all of a sudden last year, you know, he was like the player of the season. Foden has done the same. And there's the lad who scored the other night, Cole Palmer. And I think you might see a bit more of him this season, because he looks like a real talent, and he just introduces them gradually. And you're thinking a game like this, he'll have a very big up Anthony, cheers, mate. But you think he'll have a strong team out, but there'll be one or two that are just slotted in there and quite a few on the bench that he can sort of bring on and, you know, rest his bigger players, if you like. So I do think they've got a fantastic squad. And again, their youth coming through just seems to be, you know, just about ready for the first team as it is.
I've got to be honest with you here. My outside surprise to maybe get to the final, Wolves. You know, they entertain Norwich. If you're a Wolves fan, you'd be looking at it thinking, yep, that's us into the fifth round.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You know, they're a strong team. Again, they've recruited the manager really well, who's come in, done a good job. They're looking to recruit. I think if they sell Traore, it looks like they might get the funds to bring some in. And I think they're prepared for that at the moment. It looks like something, you know, may happen. And if they do, it'll have a bit of money to spend. It'd be interesting to see, you know, who they've been looking at. And on the other side of it, it's another one of those games talking about teams who think they might have a chance. You know, two Premier teams there. So one Premier League team's going out in that tie. Yes. There's a few like that. And it just thins down, you know, the quality in the competition, and then enhances everyone's chances. So, you know, one way or the other, that'll be interesting for the other teams around.
We would have just liked to Liverpool to have met a Man City. And
absolutely, yes.
So definitely. Rennie says, is James Justin is returning soon? Played 45 minutes at the weekend in the under-23. So I think Scott's just gone in and answered it. Hello to Nippon. How are you? You must be happy after your 5-1 win. And Gerard, Stu Mack here. Gerard as a manager has now lost to my... of St Mirren, Hibs, Aberdeen, St Johnson, and now a kick and chase United in domestic cups. Mickey Mouse manager only had Lennon to beat in the SPL. Of course, I particularly argue with that. Hit it on the head. As I say, concentrate. The big game for me is the Leicester Nottingham Forest, and I suppose I'm feeling confident because, you know, even if we've got, you know, we hopefully might have some players back from AFCON, depending, you know, if they've got to isolate or anything when they come back and whether they go out early or anything. But and even if we, you know, we play that squad that we had yesterday, I'd be pretty, I mean, and in fairness to Forest, I watched that game and I had to think, hang on, Arsenal, Forest, and sorry about this, Anthony, but Arsenal, Forest, who's the Premier League team? But I do feel confident against them.
Yeah, I do. And I mean, I think it would be a tense affair. But yeah, you know, I think we have to. The squad we've got, you know, we had a very mixed start to the season. It seems to be slightly improving all the time, not as quickly as we'd all like. But like you say, we've definitely got the squad. Great performance at the weekend with several key players missing. You know, and you'd like to think if we can do that against a struggling Premier League team, then, you know, we should be able to go away to a Championship team and make a very good account of ourselves. So there's no reason not to think we are going to win it, but there's just that 11 Nottingham Forest players in the way.
Yeah, exactly. And as Nipham says there, it's a derby match. It form does go out the window, you know. Thanks so much, Julian, for coming on as always.
Pleasure.
And do thank your wife for me as well. I totally understand. Tomorrow night, we've got this, another quiz. But if you do like your quizzes, if you go on to Leicester Till I Die TV, there is a quiz between two ex-Leicester City players, one of which isn't a million miles away from me at the moment. Hello, Julian. And we found an expert on ladies' football. Now, whether that's because he actually watches ladies' football for the sporting reasons, I will leave that to you to work out. But that is still up there and is still watchable. And if you want it, it was a good laugh, wasn't it?
It was a great laugh. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. But this quiz tomorrow, it's a Leicester fan versus Leicester fan. It's winner stays on, if you like. So the winner stays on for the next round. 50 questions. So there's a lot. Up to 50 questions, depending how you go. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. But nowhere is it as good as the Julian Watts versus Steve Lynette quiz. Nowhere at all. But no, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you.
You and too, Chris.
Thanks for coming on as always and giving us your expert view. And we'll see you in a month's time.
No worries. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot now. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks to Julian there for coming on. Terry there. And finally, not only was the Forest versus Arsenal game good viewing, I then watched for 90 minutes AFTV and the Arsenal fans flagging off their dream team. Priceless Sunday night viewing. I'm going to be honest with you, Terry. I actually went on Stephen Fleetley's channel, Fleetley TV, big Arsenal fan, as you know. And I was on there just only on there for 10 minutes, but it was him and a Spurs fan and me. I was the only one smiling. I know Spurs won, but they're just, you know, you got two very unhappy fans there. Rene says we should thrash Nottingham Forest. I wouldn't go that far because they are doing, I think they're sort of in the playoffs, aren't they? Or just outside the playoffs, one of the two, but very up close. Up to the top of the Championship. They've got a good manager there in Steve Cooper. They've got a settled manager. They have gone through the manager. So it isn't going to be, I don't think, as a foregone conclusion as we might think it was. I think Brendan Scott says a need to play a similar squad that beat Watford. I said earlier, I think I've got the number right here. Scott and Terry and everybody else and Rene. Those youngsters that came on, when I looked at that team sheet, and I said this at the start, I was going like, who? Who? Hang on, we've got two goalkeepers on the bench. We haven't filled the bench. I mean, we two goalkeepers, we didn't fill the bench up, and still no place for Benkovic. He's on his way out. I'm sorry. If he doesn't trust him, you know, when you're playing under 23s in that squad, a 16-year-old on the pitch instead of Benkovic, I'm sorry, Benkovic, get your roadmap out and find out where you're going, because you are off somewhere. But the other thing that got me was that those young lads, and I think we ended up with six academy players on the pitch when the final whistle went. Not one of them let themselves down. They all played their hearts out. And you looked at one and you couldn't say any of them had a particularly bad game. It's silly mistakes here and there, like, you know, let's face it, you know, this is the first time. I think, was it Alves had played when the biggest match was in front of 500 people, and then he was playing this. Deontay Campbell had a bit of a red mist, but, you know, none of them let themselves down. And maybe a certain number 27 needs to look at that and go, because I'll tell you something, he was non-existent. And when you are being outplayed and outclassed by most of your under 23 squad, you need to take a long, hard look at yourself, number 27. I really hope I've got the right player here. If I haven't, I'm going to be a fool. Scott, is he 27? Am I thinking of the right player here? You've said here, if it was me, I'd rip his contract up. Brendan sees something in him. And maybe, you know, his ideal role is that number 10 role which Maddison fills. And, you know, we know, we've tried him on the wing. He doesn't want, you know, play very well out there either. But this was his chance. You know, he's even at number 10, you're a striker to some degree. And you've got biggest striker, we've got Jamie Vardy, injured, 8 weeks. In actual, out for a month, probably at the AFCON. You'd think Nigeria would do well in that. Daka injured, don't know when he's back. God, I'd be out there thinking, this is my chance. I'm going to get a few goals today. Come in, number 27, your time is up. Come in, please. Please come in. And then we can put you in a taxi and send you off. It is the end of the road for you. I can't say any more. And I know I've tried to be nice to him, but he doesn't deserve it. Anyway, enough about that. We won. And I say the youngsters did us proud. Every last one of them. We're going to be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. You're going to see Josh take on Brad, two presenters there. And it is a case of winner stays on. It is a Leicester versus Leicester quiz. But by all means, pop on and watch, even if you're not a Leicester fan, and join in if you just like quizzes. It's a bit of fun. Five questions in a section, and you ask the five, and you get 5 points if you get them all right. But if you get the first two right, and then you get the next one wrong, you only get the 2 points. And then it goes over to the opposition. And at the end, whoever's won, as I say, winner stays on, and is going to take on Craig in the next round. So, Scott, get your thinking boots on. Could be coming up to your turn next. Bye, Rene. Thanks very much. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks to Rene, Scott. Who else have we had in the chat here? Terry. Thanks, Terry, for popping in. Nippon. Thanks a lot for popping on, mate. Anthony, of course, for popping on. Thank you very much. Stumac, thank you so very much for popping on. The trolls, we won't thank the trolls. Thanks. And if you've been listening to this on catch-up, excuse me, my voice is going. Thank you for listening on your favourite podcast station, Google, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Apple iTunes, and let's say all Uncle Tom Copley and all, basically. I will see you tomorrow night at 7. Thanks for joining in. Take care. Stay safe, guys.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye, and see you next time. That's all, folks.
people are on the pitch, they think it's all over. It is not.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.